Thank you for returning. I hope you had a good lunch. I hope I can keep from putting you to sleep this afternoon. I know it's always hard. So to go along with my lesson this morning, we're going to take a look at the heavenly city this afternoon. So the title of my lesson this afternoon is The Heavenly City. We will spend a lot of time in Revelation, most of the time in Revelation. But to start off with, we're going to take a look here in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We see it was written that Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. So starting here in verse 8, and we'll read through verse 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. A city God had prepared for him. Pick up there in verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Abraham searched for this city. Hebrews tells us the city was prepared. It is written that we too look for a city. Turn over to chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, there in verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. We too seek this city, a city promised by Jesus to those who overcome. Turn back over to Revelations. We're going to spend most of our time there in verse 21 and 22. Revelations 21 and 22. We see here John was shown a vision of a great city, along with words of comfort and warning. Revelations 21, verses 2 through 8. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. John's vision that he was given of this great city came with those words of comfort there in verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he shall be my son. But in 8, there's the warning of the cowardly, the unbelieving, all of those who are going to be lost. He was then offered a very detailed glimpse of this heavenly city. Now, we know these are figurative descriptions, but keep in mind as we go through this, It was described in this way. How much better will it be when we see it in person? So let's take a look at what John was given an opportunity to see. So this great city, he was shown the holy city by one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls of wrath. Revelations 21, verses 9 and 10. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So this angel carried John away in the spirit to this great high mountain so he could have this vision, so he could see this holy city. He sees the great city, the holy Jerusalem. Going on there in verse 11, having the glory of God, her light was like most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. I think about these, and as we go forward, we're going to hear about a lot more of these different stones. And the term clear as crystal is used more than once. There's perfection in there. There are no impurities. It is perfection. Perfectly clean and clear. No air bubbles, no cracks. And try to imagine just what perfection is going to be like if we get to heaven. It will truly be an amazing feeling. So John's now going to describe this holy city, starting there in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 21. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So now we have a description of these gates. There are 12 of them. They're lined up on all 4 sides of the city. And they have the names written on them. There's 12 angels at the gates. The 12 tribes of Israel are written and inscribed on them. And we have the 12 foundations with the 12 apostles' names inscribed on the foundations. Now, picking up there in verse 15. We're going to talk about some measurements. And he who talked with me and had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measures the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. So this is a huge city, bigger than anything we could probably imagine when we think about a city. So first of all, this angel had a gold reed for measuring. There's a reason that this angel wanted John to know these measurements. Wanted to see the vast power of God, see the size that this was, and to give him an idea of what he was seeing, because he's looking down upon this from a big mountain here. The city's laid out in a cube. It's the length, breadth, and height, they're all the same, 12,000 furlongs. To commentary on how long that 12,000 furlongs is, that's 1,500 miles cubed, 1,500 miles. That's the distance from Orlando to Denver. That's a long distance. And that's that square, and it's that tall. This is a big city. It's a big city. The wall was 144 cubits, or 216 feet. Now, it doesn't say that's the height or the thickness. Now, the verses before says the city is 1,500 or 12,000 furlongs tall. So I don't know if that means the tallest building in it or if that was the walls. Either way, 216 feet, whether it's tall or thick, is a thick wall. It's a tall wall. It's a big wall, right? And if you look at the numbers from these old, from the Bible scriptures and the way some of these numbers meant, the 144 is 12 times 12, which was commonly referred to as perfection. The 12 by 12, or 12 times 12, was a symbol of perfection. So 144 cubits for the wall. So the construction of this city, the wall, its foundation, and its gates, and we're going to get now some more descriptive factors of what it's made of. Picking up there in Revelation 21, verse 18 through 21. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation of the wall of the cities were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sargus, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Now, I'm sure I may have mispronounced some of those stones. But I want you to really draw in a mental picture here of what we're looking at. You see the description of pure, crystal clear, all of these things. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. How shiny and sparkly is that going to be? Because we're going to see here later where there's a great light that lights this city, so you know there's going to be some sparkle. There's some sparkle in this city. When I read this, something that came to mind, and if you can remember what the movie, the scene from The Wizard of Oz, when they get to the end and they see the Emerald City. In that movie, of course, they're on a yellow brick road, not a gold road. It's a yellow brick road. But the Emerald City is just glowing emerald green. All the buildings are green. I mean, just really bright emerald that's made of the stone. And I imagine, you know, walking through a clearing and looking up and seeing this pure gold city with all of these. And just, it's just so amazing, the description that we get. And to think, to try to relate it to something that we see here and knowing that it really will be no comparison from what we can imagine. So these walls of jasper, the city of pure gold, it's like clear glass. These 12 foundations, all of these precious stones are giving us this idea in signs here of what this city is going to be like. These 12 gates, these 12 pearls, if the walls were as big as we see here, how big are these pearls? Maybe it's a bunch of little bitty pearls. Maybe it's one big pearl, but it was, you know, 12 gates were 12 pearls, so that's 12 huge pearls. Each gate one pearl. So it's amazing, the description that comes out of this. Imagine these colors, the varying shades, the greens, the reds, the blue, the golds, and then the crystal clearness of all of these colors. So bright, so shiny, so amazing. Truly, this was a great city, or is a great city, beyond what we can comprehend, but it is definitely worthy of our consideration to look at, contemplation, to think about it. So let's look on. So this glorious city. Verse 22, I'm going to read through to the end of the chapter there, Revelation 21. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be no means enter it. There shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." The temple is God Almighty and the Lamb. There is no reason to have a temple in it because the whole city is the temple. There won't be separate places for individuals. They will all be one. This will be the eternal state. This will be our final resting place. It is illuminated by the glory of God and the Lamb. We saw that there in verse 23. There's no need for a light. There's no sun. There's no moon. It will have glory as its light. It will not have nighttime, and there won't be any reason for it. The gates will never be shut. There will be no reason to secure it. There will be nothing to be afraid of. And we know from reading through the Bible that, of course, the sun and the moon that we know of today will no longer exist. It will be burned up when this earth comes to an end, when our life here is over and everything is destroyed. The sun and the moon will also be destroyed. And it all is going to be replaced by this new heaven and this new earth, which is such an amazing thought. Look back there at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. We did not read this. It says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea." All of these things will be gone. There will be no need for this light. There will be no need for the moon to light the night. They will all be gone. Illuminated by God's glorious power and our Savior. And it will also be enhanced by those who enter it. We saw this in verse 24. "The nations of the saved shall walk in its light." So not only is this a glorious city, this is also those who enter it will bring even more glory to it. The saved come from different nations. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and there in verse 19. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Different nations will be a part of this. "Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Many nations will be present. The kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. We see that in verse 24. There will be those righteous kings, perhaps referring to some of those of Judah, David, Hezekiah, Josiah, some of those righteous kings, maybe what they're talking about here. But they will be present. Those redeemed by the Lamb who have reigned together with him. We see that in chapter 22 there in verse 6. It says, "Then he said to me, 'These words are faithful and true.' And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place." His servants, redeemed by the Lamb. Back in 21, verse 25, those gates will never be shut. We talked about that already. We talked about there not being any night. Glory and honor will be added to the glory and honor of God and Lamb by those who enter those gates. "Nothing that defiles shall enter." Chapter 21, verse 27, "There will be no negative that can come in. Nothing that defiles. No liars, no cheats, nothing that can bring negative aura, as we would use, will be allowed to enter and can even be remotely close. Only those written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter this heavenly city. So, something else to think about. This city has everything that's ever needed. There will be no reason to go out and make provisions for yourself. The provisions for everlasting service is here. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street And on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This pure river, clear as crystal, plenty of water supply to take care of us, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, promised to those who thirst for righteousness. This tree of life we see in verse 2 of chapter 22. It's in the middle of the street. It was in the Garden of Eden, and we saw that, but now it's in this heavenly city. It's right in the middle of the street, easily to get to. It's available for all who enter. Now it's in the city of God, straddling the river, the water of life for which it is, gets its nourishment. It will forever be there. It bears 12 fruits, yielding fruit every month. This is endless provisions. We're taken care of. Endless provisions. The leaves for healing of the nations. No more sickness. Everything is there. Instant great health. Chapter 22, verses 3 through 5, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The reign of his servants, the curse which made work difficult, is no more. That we see in Genesis, where we were to work for our everyday stuff, is gone. The need to labor is gone. God will reign. His reign continues, and he will be there. We will serve him. There will be no more work, but that work, the laborious work, will be gone. We talked about there's no night. We knew that it shall reign forever and ever, the exalted nature of our service. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, we see our service here to God. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." What kind of service was that? Wrong chapter, sorry. 25:21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." We talked about the responsibility we had this morning to receive this grace of salvation. And we will be rewarded. We will get this reward. Because we will be recognized for our faithfulness. This was a glorious city. Provisions that enabled a glorious service forever. No reason to worry about the daily needs. None at all. Now, I want to reiterate that, yes, we are dealing with some highly figurative passage here. This was all done in signs and symbols. We see that from Revelations 1:1. We've got to be careful not to take these figures beyond their intended purpose. But how shall we envision our hope in Christ? What do we use as our vision to keep us steadfast, to finish this race? What is your mental image of heaven and where you're going to be in eternity? Is it this city that we have been given in Revelations? Understanding these are signs, what is it that drives you to stay steadfast? Is it coming from uninspired sources? Is it what we see on TV? Is it what we see in movies of what heaven is, predicted? Or is it what we get from the Word? Jesus himself, God, the Holy Spirit, they give us these to comfort us, to encourage us, This vision of this holy city is there for us to keep us going. Again, if it is described this precious, this bright, this shining, this wonderful in figurative language and revelations, how much better will it be when we get there? So amazing to think about. This city to come, these foundations whose builder and maker is God. We saw that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. A city prepared by God who is not ashamed to be called our God. Hebrews 11, 16. May we all, who are disciples of Jesus Christ, allow the vision seen by John to excite us. Let us encourage us to stay steadfast, to remain faithful until we get to walk through those pearly gates, till we see those gates open and we get to enter this wonderful city. And listen to the words that Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 through 17. This will be my last reading for this afternoon, and the lesson will be yours. Revelation 22, verses 12 through 17. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride says, come, and let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. We have salvation on the other side of the water. And with continued steadfastness, with faithful service to God, we will inherit the city also. This beautiful city that's described to us here, the glory that will be there, such a wonderful feeling. I took a short vacation this last week and didn't have to work, didn't have to really wait on myself. And I just can't imagine. I mean, I thought that was a pretty good week. And then now we have this to look forward to. How much better will that be when there's no worries, no cares? It's such a wonderful thing to think about that we have this heavenly city waiting for us. Please don't let it slip by. Please don't let it slip by. If you're here this afternoon and you're in need of the prayers of the congregation, you've slipped and fallen away, we're here for you. If you're here likewise and you're not a Christian and you want to be one, we can help you with that. We have the ability to make that happen right here, right now. I hope that you don't leave this building separated from God, because we don't know when the end will be. Open your songbooks. If there's anything we can do to help, please let it come forward while together we stand and while we sing.